Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 3, where we see a declaration about faith, spanning only 14 words, and yet is one of the most important and profound declarations for us to hold on to today. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 11, verse 1.
That's how anybody who was anybody who followed Christ finished, by faith. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition or a wasteful life. Don't waste your life falling away from Christ. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith. For faith. And he takes the time for the duration of the chapter to open this to us. So ideally, I'd have about an hour and a half with you, and I would take you through this whole chapter and show you the progression of the form that faith takes in each of these people's lives, and I'd apply it to you accordingly. But because of time constraint, we have to chop the chapter up in chunks that are sort of bite-sizable for each of us each Sunday. So this morning, we just sort of want to slow our roll a little bit, if you would, and we want to sort of mull over this idea that God esteems and he lifts up and he calls us to, this idea of faith. And we sort of want to look at it and explore it and allow it to settle into our hearts before we move further and look at these character sketches that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And as I sought the Lord and asked him for the ability to break this down, I feel like he gave me sort of three ways to do that with you this morning. And the first thing that I want to do as we talk about our faith this morning, is talk about our faithful Father. The writer doesn't do that in this portion of Scripture because the Holy Spirit had other plans. But the Holy Spirit has these plans for you this morning, I believe strongly. And that is a time of reflection for just a few minutes as we begin this series, if you would, on this chapter of faith. And I want you to consider, as I'm calling you to faith in Jesus, I want you to consider this source that you're putting your faith in and how faithful our Father has been to you. Because if you're telling me that I need to have faith in something or someone, my first thing to you is going to be this: why? If I don't know them or know much about them, I'm going to want to know what the reasoning is for me to put such stock in another person or being. Wouldn't you sort of feel that way too? So I think it's only reasonable, sensible to say to you this morning that you should consider his faithfulness, just in general, and then specifically to you, as you contemplate placing your faith and trust in him in an even greater measure. I guess why I'm so overwhelmed by this portion is I just got back from Israel, not even 2 days ago. And the theme that the Lord ministered to me during those 11 days of being in the Holy Land is God's faithfulness. Faithfulness to a country that is smaller than the size of the state of New Jersey. Just in every which way, God has been faithful to this land that has been under attack, that has had opposition, oppression, animosity since its conception. God's faithfulness to this people that he brought his son into the world through. Being in this land, again, geographically, the topography, considering all of these things, all the practical things to the spiritual things, God's faithfulness to these people is overwhelming, and it should cause you this morning to have your soul stirred. I say that to you because Paul says this: if God's been faithful to them, then surely God will be faithful to you. Because I begin talking about Israel and the Jews, you might be thinking, listen, I didn't come to church to hear about your trip. I didn't come to church this morning to hear about a nation that's over 6,000 miles away. But you see, if you love Jesus and you love his word, then you understand that you're called to contemplate this physical example of God's faithfulness in Romans 9 through 11. When Paul's speaking all the goodness of God towards the believer, he stops and does his parenthetical portion. He says, consider Israel. Consider this people for thousands of years that God has been faithful to and is being faithful to and will be faithful to. And if he has been, is, and will be to them, he will be to you who's been grafted in. Do you understand? So you do have a connection to them. You do have a connection to God's people. Your Savior is a Jew, by the way. And I'm standing in the Holy Land, and I'm looking at the surrounding nations. I'm looking at Lebanon. I'm looking at Syria. I'm looking at Iran. And I see land that is brown. I see land and air and masses that are arid. I look around, I see all these things in the Middle East as it should be. And then I'm standing there in the middle of Israel and I see green, lush grass everywhere with palm trees and fruits and vegetables budding off of the trees. Number one, number two, exporters in all of the world. I'm looking at this land and I'm listening to my tour guide and he's telling us about the enormity of natural gasoline they have just found in Israel. They're sitting on gasoline. It makes a lot of sense as to why the hook in the jaw, Russia, might come down from up north. They do not like that Israel has found the amount of gasoline they have found, as they are the number one suppliers, Russia, to Europe as of right now. But now there's a threat. The state of New Jersey in size, the nation of Israel. I think of the oil. I think of the gasoline. I think of the lush ground. I think of the intelligence that God has given these people to facilitate the resources that he has given to them. And I think about the faithfulness to these people that by large, by many, have stiff-armed Jesus the Messiah. He's being faithful to them even in the midst of their rejection of him. So many of the people in that land will tell you that Jesus was nothing more than a prophet. Jesus was nothing more than a good man. I got talking to a bartender one night as I ordered a coffee, and he asked me why I was here. He said, "Are you here to party in Tel Aviv?" I said, "No, I'm here on a church tour, visiting the Holy Land. Man, it's amazing. You believe in Jesus?" And right away, the tone changed. The look on his face changed. "Believe in Jesus as what?" he said to me. I said, "Believe in Jesus as the Son of God." He said, "Jesus is not the Son of God. Nor is he God. That is not true. He's a prophet at best." I said, "John says this, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He dismissed it, didn't want to hear it. There's a hostility. And yet he's in the land reaping the benefits of God's faithfulness. I went to the Dome of the Rock, the place that marks, if not the exact spot of the Holy of Holies from the time of Christ, if not the exact spot, a very close spot to where the Shekinah glory once was. Now there's a Muslim golden domed mosque that's standing there. And on the face of this building says, "God does not beget, nor has he begotten." In Arabic, on the face of the place where the presence of God once abode. Not far from the place where Jesus Christ was crucified for the sins of the world, where his empty grave is. This type of blasphemy is going on in the blatant face of Jesus Christ, and he's faithful still. I mean, I can spend the duration of this service talking to you. We're on the southern steps having Bible study earlier this week. I was down there with Pastor Joe Foge out of Calvary, Philly, and he's speaking at the base of the steps. These are the steps that Christ once was on. It's an A site. It's a place that he stood on, some 2,000-year-old steps. We're sitting there, a group of almost 300 people. He's teaching us the Bible. He's telling us about the story. You recall when Jesus got lost by Mary and Joseph. Remember, they went there for the religious holiday, and they're on their way back to Nazareth, and one of them looked at the other and says, "Where's Jesus?" And if Joseph's anything like most of us dads here, it's, "I thought you had him," right? Like, and that's a big conundrum when you've lost the Son of God. So, you know, there's this thing going on there between them, and they go back, and there he is reasoning with the religious leaders of the day. You remember that story? We're sitting on those steps. I'm staring at the pinnacle of the Temple Mount where the devil would have bodily taken Jesus and dared him to jump. I'm overwhelmed by everything that I'm taking in. And as Pastor's speaking down at the base of the steps, He's in this intimate moment of preaching and sharing God's word. And there are horns that are just being laid on in between his sentences. In the midst of his pauses, you just hear honking and horns and yelling. It sounds like New York City. And he sort of stopped and laughed. And this was the most profound part of the message that spoke to me, at least. And it was this. He said, you know, it's crazy. Back at my home church, I got to tell everybody, hey, turn your cell phones off. It's time to get in the word. Here, he's like, I wish I could say, hey, turn your horns off so that we can get focused to God's word. But at the same time, he said, it blesses me. Because all of this noise and all of these sounds are testimony of God's faithfulness to bring his people back in the land. So me, as a Bible teacher, I didn't hear another thing he said. I started going off and how I was going to bring this up to you this morning. A nation, God's faithfulness to a nation that should have been wiped out 10 times over. Syria, Babylon, the Romans, Germany. I mean, you think about all of the people groups that have come against this little itty-bitty nation. They were scattered all over the world. The land was left desolate before 1948. Do you realize the generation that you are living in this morning? Listen, I don't know what you've been doing the last 2 weeks. I haven't been here. But I'm here to tell you this morning to sound the trumpet. I'm here as a watchman on the wall to tell you something. You are living in a generation that has seen God's faithfulness to a people group that were scattered all across the world, and he's brought them back to their homeland. He's brought them back. There's millions of Jews back in their homeland because God has been faithful. No one has been able to wipe them off the face of the earth. They're still here, but they're not just still here. They're here and they're thriving. They're here and their military's up at the top. They're here and their land is producing fruits and vegetables like it's nobody's business. They're here and they're prospering. They're here and they're making money. Listen to me. They're here and they're teaching the United States things. God has been faithful to his people. And if God has been faithful to his people of old, who are still his people today, he will be faithful to you. And for me, that's the number one reason why you should have faith in him. Because of how faithful he has been to you. I could spend the duration right now and start talking about personal testimony of God's faithfulness to me. Can't you? Hasn't God been good? I mean, hasn't he plucked you out of the muck time and time again? Hasn't he set your feet upon the solid rock? Hasn't he established you? Where were you a few years back on a Sunday morning? What were you doing on a Saturday evening? Look what God has done with you, beloved. Look what God has done with you and your spouse, your children, your children's children. That is a testimony of the faithfulness of God. And if he has been faithful, he's not like man that he can lie or have contradiction in his nature. He will be faithful to the end of days. Israel's been on stand for thousands of years. So as I take you through the word of God week in and week out, and what a privilege it is, I want to say to you is the premises of my encouragement to you to have faith in God is he's been faithful to you. Secondarily, this morning, I want to bring this to you as a point, I suppose, to encourage you in the faith. I want to bring this up to you. We talk about our Father's faithfulness. I want to talk to you about our foundation. Our foundation. Verse 3 was sort of an anomaly to me. I was wondering, why is this here? I don't understand all the way up till this morning. I couldn't understand why the writer took us back to the beginning. But I suppose it's to lay our foundation for us as a boost for our faith for the future. He says, through faith, we understand, it's perceive. And in the classical Greek, never once is that word perceive used of physical sight. This is a word that means we perceive with spiritual eyes. Okay? You got to be born again to perceive what he's calling you to perceive. If you hear today say, I can't see what he saw, you need to get born again. Born again in the spirit, we perceive with spiritual eyes that the world, the aeon, classical Greek is, it's including both the physical worlds, the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, but it's also speaking about the ages in between as seasons of times. It's talking about both. In just normal Greek, they're separate. You got cosmos, the physical ages, mankind, and then aeon, A-I-O-N, speaks of like all of the other stuff. But here, there's a collaboration in the language. He says this to us in verse 3, through faith, we perceive that the world, everything, both the physical, the spiritual, the human part to it, everything was framed, outfitted by the word. by the word of God. Listen, Hebrews this, light be, light was. Genesis 1, light be, light was. At what? At the physical, verbal voice of God Almighty. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things that were made by Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. And how did He do it? He spoke. He spoke things into existence out of nothingness. Quantum physics doesn't even allow that. Your mind should be exploding right now. The writer says you should have a faith in a God whose creative ability makes things, bara, makes things out of nothing. You've never heard of that before. There's nobody walking the earth that can do that. No contractor, no carpenter can make something out of nothing. We don't understand this concept of nothingness. God does. He outfitted the world by His word. So the things that which are seen, He says, the heavens, the planets, the stars, the trees, the ground, the heavens and the earth, the things that are seen were made by those things that were not even in existence. They never even appeared. Light be, light was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let there be light. There's light. There was light before there was a light bearer, by the way. Light before a light bearer. Before there was a sun, before there was a moon, before there were the reflectors of those things, there was light before the... In Revelation, it says, He maketh light. How many of you believe Genesis chapter 1? Just raise your hand. Don't do it because the crowd's doing it. Don't be a follower. Tell the truth. You believe it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and no cooperation from anything. No collaboration or cooperation with evolution. There's no Big Bang. The Big Bang's coming at the end. The scientists have it all twisted. That's coming at the end. There was no Big Bang in the beginning. It was light be, light was. It was He spoke it into existence. If you just raised your hand and you said that you believe that, then everything else comparatively that the rest of this book speaks to you of concerning your need for faith should be relatively easy. You got a faithful Father, number one. That to me trumps everything. Number two, the foundation that we have in our faith that we're called to is outrageously amazing. He spoke things into existence. From eternity past, where was He? Outside of, there was nothing. We say, oh, you're empty-headed. You're a bonehead. You're this, you're that. We use it as an insult. We don't even know what we're saying. We don't understand nothingness. God does. Out of nothingness, He spoke things. The power of His word. In six literal days, He created everything. That is a great reason for you to, in the future, have your faith and trust in the King. And that's where we close this morning. Our future is great reason for need to have faith. We build on the premises of our Father's faithfulness and His foundation that He's laid. But now it's for our future that we need faith. I need faith for the future, moving on. And that's where this definition becomes beneficial in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. Listen to me, please. The word substance here is where we get two words in the English, sub and stance, which means below and standing. Substance, below standing. It's substructure. It's speaking of something that bears another thing up. And in the context of the text, it's speaking about the hope that He calls us to. So that we don't have a I hope so hope, but I have a no so hope because of the substructure that my hope is built upon. See, this is totally sensible and logical, isn't it? This is not hocus pocus, nonsense, full of baloney here. This is the word of God speaking to you this morning and saying this. I want you to have faith in the living God. He's been a faithful Father. He's given you an amazing foundation to build on. But listen, your future, you can have as a guarantee to you of what's coming your way, of what the Lord has in store for those who love Him because of the substructure of faith that He has laid for you to put your hope upon. It's substantial. It's substantial, and it is able to bear you up in the days of your greatest adversity, in the midst of your greatest pain and trials and question marks that flow your way. Why should I believe in God? Why should I continue on? Man, it's getting hard. People are ridiculing me. People are prosecuting me and coming against me and persecuting me and hurting me and forsaking me. Why should I continue on? Right, that's what these guys would have said. And he would say this, because of the substructure of faith that God has laid for you to build your hope on. And with that faith, you have all things spiritual. But without that faith, you have nothing. It's like the spiritual key. It opens doors of blessings. Things like resurrection. Y'all have to have faith to believe that he's going to gather your bones. You're going to get up once again. Right? I mean, isn't that the hope of our Christian experience, resurrection? Wouldn't you agree with me if I said to you that without resurrection, there is no good news? For me, at least, I mean, I'm not doing this if there's no resurrection. I'm not doing this if there's no resurrection. I was just in the empty tomb of Jesus Christ a few days ago. I went there a couple of times. It's empty. He's not there. He's resurrected. And if he's resurrected, we too will rise again in glory. You believe that? You believe that by faith, though. What a gift resurrection is, but you believe that and you receive that by faith. How about glorification? There's a day coming when you will stand in glory, full of glory, where you will be like him. Heaven is not just a destination or a place, it's an image. And we will be made in his, Jesus, image. We will be perfected. We will be completed. There's a day coming for those who believe in Jesus, who follow him and walk with him till the end, where there will be no more battle with sin. The sanctification process will be over and you will be glorified. There will be no more lust. There will be no more anger. There will be no more bitterness. There will be no more pride. There will be no more arrogance. There will be no more those things that vex us right now. How do I know that? By faith. There's a day coming if Jesus tarries and he allows me to live and he allows you to live to experience this where a trump will sound and the voice of the archangel.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.